You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome aboard the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday, April 17th, 2018. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe. Your two best bets are iTunes and Spotify. And if you really enjoy the show, leave it a good review in iTunes. Today, our topic is positional value. Now, in the NFL, all positions are not created equally. We are going to focus on the defense the Jets run, Todd Bowles' defense, and we're going to rank the positions there. When it comes to positional value, the biggest divergence, I think, from team to team comes on the defensive side of the ball. I think on offense, most teams are pretty similar in the value that positions have. I mean, I think there may be a difference here or there, but defensive schemes can vary wildly in the NFL, and the emphasis on a given position can vary just as wildly, depending on what you do on that side of the ball, how aggressive you are with your blitz schemes, whether you play zone or man more frequently. So as we roll towards the draft, we're going to take a look at which positions matter the most to the Jets on the defense they run. And it's going to take on an added significance because the Jets don't walk into this draft with a full complement of draft picks. They've traded two second rounders away to move up to the third overall pick, and they also traded one of their fifth round picks away. It was for a cornerback during the regular season. Now, they just a couple months ago had two second round picks and two fifth round picks. Now they're down, they're without a second round pick. They're back down to one fifth round pick at the moment. So understanding which positions are most valuable could actually be pretty important to this team as it enters the draft. And now they may trade down, they may stockpile more picks, but at the moment the Jets have less than a full complement of selections, the normal seven picks that you have, one in each round. So it's a little important for the Jets to understand which positions are most valuable. So that's what we'll talk about on today's show. Now, I think the most important position on this defense, and I don't think there's any divergence between the Jets and any team in the league, the most important position on a defense is the edge rusher position. And some defenses, that's a defensive end. Some defenses, that's a stand-up outside linebacker. And increasingly in the NFL, it's guys who do both. Guys who either stand up or put their hand in the dirt. It can vary from play to play. But the important thing is they're coming off the edge. Now, that's not to say the best players on the defense are always edge rushers. You know, you may have a superstar corner. You may have a superstar interior guy like the Rams with Aaron Donald. So I'm not saying that necessarily your best player, your biggest impact guy, is going to be an edge rusher. But it's the most important position. If you're starting from scratch and you can have a great player at any position, that's probably the position you're going to choose. And we've discussed this quite a bit over the last week or so, the importance of the edge rusher position and the importance of the edge rusher position in particular as it relates to draft strategy. And the Jets, Mike Maccagnan has told you in the past that he's really focused on bringing in edge guys. He's drafted one each year. And that's a philosophical thing. That's something he's told us. It's something he's expressed openly in the media. Maccagnan's not opposed to telling you, giving away a few of his trade secrets. He's not, you know, some GMs are very afraid to even give you a hint of what they want to do. Maccagnan's not like that. Maccagnan's willing to openly discuss some of his big picture philosophy. Now, he's not going to give away his strategy. He's not going to tell you his draft board. You know, he's not going to give everything away, but the bigger picture things where it's tough to tell what specific moves he's going to make, he's not afraid to share those things. And it makes sense because, as we've talked about, most of the great pass rushers in this league are edge guys. Now, you have guys who are great interior pass rushers. You know, they're not all, but for the most part they are, because you have so much space to work on the edge, and that's where really most of the premium guys are. The most freakish athletes tend to be the guys coming off the edge. So I think in any defense, that's the most important spot, and a great pass rush can help cover for deficiencies elsewhere on the defense, particularly in coverage. See, you have one great corner, he helps, but he can only shut down one receiver at a time, whereas a great pass rush means that every single cover guy has to cover for less time. You know, if a pass rush can get there in 2 seconds, it's a lot easier to ask everybody to only cover for 2 seconds. So great pass rush really lifts all boats on the defensive side of the ball. Now, the number two position is the cornerback position in the Todd Bowles defense. And in truth, I think most defenses in the NFL, corner is going to be your second most important position. There are a few zone-based defenses where maybe corner is less important. Maybe you ask them to do a little less. But especially in the Bowles defense, I think if Bowles had his choice, if you gave Todd Bowles his pick of any sort of players in the NFL, he'd pick great man-to-man corners, guys who could press at the line, because the defense he likes to run is one that's heavy on blitzing, that's heavy on attacking. Well, if you're blitzing more guys, that means you have less guys in the back of your defense, and the numbers just don't work out. You have to play man-to-man, otherwise the numbers just don't work out. So that means you have to have guys who can stand up one-on-one. And so Bowles likes man corners. I think if he had his choice, he'd like guys who press, who got physical at the line, who took away any sort of space up front. And the NFL is a league now where you have three starting corners. The days of where you have two starting corners are over. You have three starting corners. This is a league where teams are in nickel, at least five defensive backs, and frequently more than five defensive backs, but at least five defensive backs over half the time. The days of the, you know, saying we're a 3-4 defense, we're a 4-3 defense. Now, you may have elements of those defense, but really what you are, you're a nickel defense in today's NFL. You have at least five defensive backs and three corners on the field at almost all times. And Bowles has told you what he likes is a corner when it comes to his third corner. That's typically a slot guy, a guy who plays inside against the slot receiver. Kind of, he's, you know, you can call him the slot corner, you can call him the nickel corner. Bowles has told you he likes a guy who can play both inside and outside for that spot. And there's a reason. Today's NFL has become a matchup league, and more teams are using the slot to try and get their number one receiver in a mismatch. So if you can have your number one corner follow that number one receiver into the slot, that can help you out. That can help you deal with the great receivers in the league. But that also means that your guy who's typically your slot corner in those situations has to be able to go outside and hold up on his own. So that's what Bowles wants, and the Jets seem to really like Buster Screen in that role. And I gotta be honest with you, I'm not sure how much I like Buster Screen in that role, but I think the Jets like him, and that's the reason Buster Screen is still around. That's the reason, first of all, the Jets gave Buster Screen that kind of money, is because they felt like he could play both inside and outside. 3 years ago, they gave him a pretty lucrative deal. And even though he's making a lot of money, and even though he's making what I would argue is too much money for the level of play he's giving you, the Jets don't agree with me. And I know a lot of you probably agree with me. Maybe some of you don't, but the Jets seem to really like Buster Screen. So that's the reason, I think, because they think Screen can play both inside and outside effectively. Kenny, I don't know, but that's the rationale. That's the thinking. And corner is really the second most important position on this defense. So a guy who, in theory, can play both inside and outside certainly helps. And on the outside, you want guys who can man up, play man-to-man. Now I'm going to go with the defensive line at number three, and I'm not going to differentiate between the nose tackle and defensive ends, because I think there's a lot of overlap in the defense the Jets run. I mean, yes, alignments are different. Where you're going at the snap, who you're lining up across from, that's different. But I think you see largely the same role in this defense. On the defensive line, there are essentially two different philosophies you can have. You can have one gap or you can have two gaps. And that essentially is the area you're playing. Are you playing one gap or are you playing two gaps? And a gap is the area between an offensive lineman. So it's the area between a tackle and a guard, or a guard and a center. So if you're two gapping, then you're taking two of those areas. You're essentially trying to hold the point of attack. You're not necessarily looking to penetrate. Whereas if you have one gap, you're looking to penetrate. And it's kind of tough to tell watching the games what the assignments are. You can guess, you can make educated guesses, and you also have to kind of listen to the players as they talk about their scheme. And you definitely get the feeling the Jets, it's a lot of one gap with Bowles. And one of the dead giveaways is the fact that the Jets play Jamal Adams in the box so frequently. And that's just the way the numbers work out is if you are playing a lot of one gap, you have to bring an extra guy, or else there's a gap that's uncovered. So you have to bring a safety down to help with that gap, or else nobody's filling it. Whereas if you have two gaps, you don't need the safety deep because just if you do the math, every gap is covered. And in the run game, it's obvious why you need every gap covered, because if you leave one hole, back's going to run right through it. So the Jets, I think, they look for their defensive linemen to make more plays than maybe a Rex Ryan defense would. With Rex Ryan, you'd have more two-gapping. And one thing I'd also note is, you know, you can have – it's not necessarily a case where everybody on your defensive line has to one-gap or everybody has to two-gap. Sometimes you'll have one guy two-gap, one guy one-gap. I think it seems to me with Bowles, though, it's a lot of one-gapping, and that's why – maybe Damon Harrison, if you remember back to 2015, was more of a playmaker against the run than he was under Rex Ryan. He was excellent under both coaches. He did his job very well, but with Bowles, he was more of a playmaker, made, you know, more a guy defenses had to with Ryan, he was a guy who kind of held the point of attack. With Bowles, he was a guy who shed blocks a little bit more. Muhammad Wilkerson, of course, had a big year 2015, double-digit sacks, which he did also have with Rex Ryan, to be fair. But I think the Jets look for their defensive linemen to be playmakers more than other defenses might. So I think defensive line would be the third most important position in this defense. And again, I'm not going to, just because of the way the Jets play defense, I don't think I'm going to necessarily differentiate between nose tackle and defensive end the way I might with other defensive philosophies, just because I think there's a lot of one-gapping as far as I can see. Now, the number four position, I'm going to say safety. And what's interesting is Todd Bowles has kind of hinted at the idea he likes guys who can handle, who can do a little bit of everything, who can play man-to-man, who can play in the box, who can play deep. And he kind of likes to view them as interchangeable. But last year, you saw Jamal Adams mostly take the in-the-box role. He played in the box over 80% of the time, according to Pro Football Focus. And Marcus May primarily handled the deep middle role. You saw at points they'd play cover two where they'd have both guys deep, and of course you did see points where May would go into the box, where May would play man-to-man, where Adams would play deep, but Bowles actually seemed to give those guys pretty defined roles. It's not really what Bowles talked about. Bowles likes to talk about safeties being interchangeable, but at least last year, and now look, maybe in year two where these guys are a little more comfortable, you can expand their roles a little bit, so that's subject to change. It's certainly possible it'll change, but I think Bowles, you know, he has stated what he likes, and on any given play, typically what you'll see in the defense of system Bowles prefers is one guy who's going to play against the run in the box, who will play man-to-man against a quality receiving tight end, and another guy who will take away the deep middle. And again, that was Adams playing the role in the box and the man-to-man against the tight end, and May playing the deep middle. Now, again, maybe we'll see those roles expand this year. It's not as important. It's not as essential as the other roles, though. And last, I'll say linebacker. And that's off-ball linebacker. That's not outside linebacker. That's just your traditional linebacker. And it seems like Bowles likes one guy who he kind of used as a safety linebacker hybrid. And you saw Arizona use a first-round pick when Bowles was there on Deion Buchanan. You saw the Jets use a first-round pick on Darren Lee. He likes one guy who's kind of a safety linebacker hybrid. That's the guy who gets the coverage assignments. And then he likes another guy whose main job is to play the run. That was David Harris. Then it was DeMario Davis. Now it's probably going to be Avery Williamson. So he likes to have pretty defined roles when it comes to his linebackers. So I'd say that's the least important of the position, least impact. And now I think one thing that's going to stick out is the last 2 years, the Jets have used a number of early draft picks on guys from the least impactful positions on this defense. And one thing I'll say is that least impactful does not mean irrelevant. You want to have good players everywhere. A weak link is a weak link. So you want to avoid having weak links. And now the other thing is, Darren Lee has been up and down. So, you know, yeah, I'm not sure you've necessarily gotten the quality you were hoping for in a first-round pick at that position. But I think it also speaks to the way the Jets draft. And we talked yesterday about some of Mike Maccagnan's draft philosophies. I think in the first couple, in the early picks, he definitely does look best player available, especially in the first round. And on a team that doesn't have a lot of impact, I can't say that's a terrible philosophy. Now, we'll see. Some of the jury's still out on some of his early picks, you know, Lee in particular, but even Adams to a certain extent. I think Adams, I liked what I saw from Adams last year as a rookie, but that's with the caveat that you're hoping, you're expecting he's going to get better. If you get the same player this year, you're not going to be that happy. It's going to be tough to justify the first round pick. So you're expecting Adams to improve. So, you know, that's the way the Jets build their defense. They may emphasize certain positions over the other, but the Jets have shown you that at least in the first round, they like to go best player available, the guy they think is the best player available. So that's all I have to say today on this topic. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe. Options include iTunes and Spotify. And please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Please enjoy your Tuesday. We'll be back on Wednesday.